Chapter 11. Through some miracle of synchronicity, everyone was looking for everyone else, some on the internet, some through other means. Halleck and Sage was looking for Pricecheck, while Pricecheck was looking for Halleck and Sage. Wolf, along with Ratbone from the Fifth Street Mofos, was looking for Ruby. Drake and Muldoon, having lost track of the mysterious foreigner, were looking for more traces of Project Lazlex, and Basil Vasselschnauzer was looking for Halleck and Sage. Ruby and No Name Stupid were also looking for Halleck and Sage. Josh was simultaneously reading a Thor the Dentist comic and looking for a hot date online, hoping the librarian wouldn't walk by. Trevor, more serious, was looking for Lazlex, trying to make sure his soon-to-be-patented computer game did not duplicate the name of some tampon or nasal spray. The boys were in the library because, according to Trevor, they would be more focused working side by side and could complete this final step more quickly. Luckily for Josh, Trevor was too focused to notice what Josh had up on his screen. Sophie, Josh's brilliant sister who went to the same school as Josh and Trevor, was looking online for the Maitreya Buddha, the Buddha who was to come, while Layla, wife of the much-tested Abdurrahim Hussein, was looking online for the Mahdi, another savior who was to come. Both had come to the conclusion that everything was so awful, it must be the end of the world. Brother Bob Hoskins, formerly of the free-swinging evangelical church, had completely slipped his trolley and was looking online for the Antichrist. Mossad and MI6 were tracking Pricecheck, while Homeland Security and Al-Qaeda were tracking Halleck and Sage. Editor Catherine McCready was looking for Halleck and Sage because the serial rights to Boo Radley Goes Hawaiian had been sold, and drafts of the first three chapters were due. Hamden McPete was looking for Halleck and Sage because, since Sage's disappearance, he feared that his negative review had sent the sensitive author over the edge. Several species and varieties of bill collector were also looking for Halleck and Sage. At the moment, Halleck and Sage was sitting in a bar, a medium-sized one with tacky red-flocked cathouse wallpaper where there wasn't dark old paneling. He was not drinking. He was talking to people. Nobody had found anybody yet, but everyone was giving it their best. Nobody was looking for Basil Vasselschnauzer. Everyone was glad he was gone. The secret vice of Basil Vasselschnauzer was that he was extremely lazy. He wanted to do absolutely nothing while living off the fat of the land and being admired by all. This feat is much more easily accomplished by the rich than by the poor, and Basil Vasselschnauzer, before he had been sent out to find Halleck and Sage, had almost achieved it. He had an unobtrusive French chef who made his meals appear as if by magic. Cleaning was also done invisibly. He had a special room, done in shades of deep blue and taupe, for viewing the arty films he sometimes reviewed. He had another room, done in olive green and peach, where he pretended to read the books sent him by publishers, and where he wrote his razor-sharp reviews. When out and about, he sat around in bars and cafes, drinking the latest fashionable drink, eating lobster and caviar, chatting with his friends and enemies. The price of caviar had gone through the roof, but it was essential to his self-image that he be seen consuming it. Nobody admired him exactly, but almost everyone feared him. And he did nothing but write one small syndicated weekly column, which he accomplished with a great deal of complaining. Who is Halleck and Sage? Why, only the most revered postmodernist, minimalist, pseudo-realist, neo-symbolist writer alive, the founder of the whole school of postmodern, minimalist, neo-symbolic pseudo-realism. That's all. But don't feel bad if you've never heard of him. There are two guys in the Kalahari Desert who haven't heard of him either, so at least you're not alone. From Psychoblogger at www.hallickandsagefest.com. Pricecheck was in a quandary. He had tried everything to find Halleck and Sage. He'd gone back on foot, by bus, and by thumb to all the places they had frequented. Being from Europe, he didn't know how dangerous it was to hitchhike in the USA. He'd talked to everyone, and there was nothing. Sage had truly lived up to his nickname, the Invisible Man. Only one old man, the proprietor of a rundown motel, had said he'd seen No Name Stupid being ridden away by a beautiful black-haired woman. But this made no sense. Halleck and Sage didn't know any women and would certainly never have parted with Stupid. Finding the real world disappointing, Pricecheck had turned to the internet. He found volumes of information on Halleck and Sage, more than he had ever wanted to know. He discovered that his simple friend was known, picked over, and analyzed around the world. There were online discussion groups and fan clubs, chat rooms, and much hot debate. There was even talk of a Halleck and Sage festival. But there was nothing remotely believable about either his background or his whereabouts. Pricecheck discounted the space alien story. At this point in his endeavors, having reached a certain level of desperation, Pricecheck decided to post his own message in the hope that Sage would find it. He had a sort of intuition that Sage was seeking him as well. They had been so good together, two eccentric geniuses whose minds fit like puzzle pieces, each filling in the appalling blind spots of the other. But this was his dilemma. Pricecheck wanted to find Halleck and Sage, but he didn't want any government agencies to find him. Things had taken a turn for the better in his life, at least in the area of government surveillance. He had been to the same supermarket 4 times in the past 3 weeks, and nobody had screamed, "Pricecheck!" at him. He had begun to believe his ordeal was over. The last thing he wanted to do was stir the whole thing up again. So he couldn't put his real name on the internet. He had to be clever, canny, like the spies in the movies. He had to think the way they did. Find a code word, something secret, something only Halleck and Sage would understand. He thought and thought, pounding his head gently and rhythmically with his fist. And then it came to him. Lazlex. This special name was known only to the two of them. The Dirty Dog Gang had heard it once, but they were no threat. They had been much too impaired to remember. Yet because of their drunken laughter, so painful at the time but suddenly revealed as fortuitous, Pricecheck had never told the name to another living soul. Except for Halleck and Sage. Working quickly, Pricecheck set up a Lazlex site. Anyone besides Sage who showed up could be fobbed off with some excuse. He thought a moment about what that might be. Aha! Lazlex could be explained as a new fabric that didn't wrinkle in the dryer, or maybe an ecologically friendly fiber made of corn husks, something so boring no one would pursue it. But presumably, no one but Halleck and Sage would respond anyway. Pricecheck established a Facebook fan page describing the amazing miracle fiber, Lazlex. Then he wrote one message on the status wall. Halleck and Sage, please come back. I want you. I need you. Meet me at that last motel where we stayed. Wanting to break through the coldness of the internet medium, to emphasize the urgency of his request, he added, "We were so good together." Pricecheck's English had remained spotty and eccentric, though his vocabulary had improved considerably. He did not realize that his message sounded like a cheap romance novel. His mind was only on science, on finding Sage to help him see what he was missing, something Sage always did so well. He was focused entirely on unleashing his latest grotesque invention. God help us all, the nanobots.